Amen. So we gonna read Psalms 8 this morning. It's a little short one, but I really like it. Enjoy it. It's good to see everybody here today.
Amen.
It's a beautiful day to be out and come together around the Lord and be with our families and all to bring peace and joy to everybody's heart here. And as we go to the author and ask his permission to read his word, let's just bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you've come and given us, Lord, to come and gather around your word. And Lord, thank you so much for just the gift of prayer that we can pray, Lord, and just open our hearts to you, Father God, and talk to you. And Lord, we want to see your face and just be with us, Lord. Send down your Holy Spirit to bless the service today, that every word that's said, Father, falls on fertile ground. Just clean our souls, Lord, that we can receive your word and become your word. Bless all those that couldn't come through the door today, Father. Whatever the hindrance are, Lord, you know what it is, and be with them. Again, and bless all those on the prayer list today. You know who they are, Father. And we just ask today, as we're preparing to hear the word from Brother Dale, just touch and bless him, Lord. We ask now, Father, as we get ready to open your word, you just come on the scene and bless us. Be with us, Father. Bless those out in the world today with this virus still going around, Father. Touch and bless them and lead them, Father. And Father, most of all, just touch our hearts. We ask these things in your name and bless this place. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Psalms 8. O Lord, our God, how excellent is thy name in the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens? When I consider thy heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, for thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. All sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, O Lord, our God, how excellent is the name in all the earth. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for the opening of the word.
Amen. You read chapters like that, a lot of those same verses are in the New Testament, and you see it's just the Lord just opened it up. It's all through the scriptures. Amen. Let's turn to page 174 in the spiral book. Near you. Are you marching in the word this morning? We should be in step with the word. Amen. Oh, I'm a pilgrim and a stranger, wandering through this world of sin, on my way to that fair city. Lord, I will
again. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Lord, I want to be in that number. Oh, when the saints go march. Sing it once more to him. Oh, when the saints go marching in.
The angels will just have to stare. Amen. And we'll go marching in as the bride with the bridegroom. If the brothers could pull up the song in the back. We sung this a while back, Highway to Heaven. And that's what we're marching on, amen, this morning. That word, that highway to heaven. Sitting in heavenly places, one with another. Amen. Let's start with the chorus.
It's a highway to heaven. Oh, none can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's a highway to heaven. I'm walking on that King's highway. Oh, if you're not walking, start while I'm talking. Walking up the King's highway.
Highway to heaven. I'm
say the pure in heart will see God. Amen. We see him this morning. Let's change the order of the service as our brother comes this morning. Hope you have your heart set on hearing the word and the Lord doing for you something for you this morning. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, Lord, I want to see you. So open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, for I want to see you.
Thank you, buddy.
Oh, I want to see you. To see
I want to see him, don't you?
Amen.
Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. I'm glad to be here today, and we pray that the ones downstairs are enjoying it, and then if there's any out in the parking lot, that they're enjoying the time that we can come together, because we have all of the things to where we can go now. Even the president said yesterday, said he's opening up the churches and things, so that's all right. We're getting him on our side to do that part, and that's, we still do what we're doing, and we'll be doing it for a while until everything gets settled out and done. We'll still be seating part, you know, not getting together in too close to communion as far as that part. And two, we will have communion next Sunday, but we will not have any foot washing, because we'll just back away from that part, because we're trying to do everything to keep everything running in an order that can be an orderly thing, you know, and doing that. So just remember that next Sunday, the Lord willing, we'll be taking our communion, you know, okay? Let's see, Richard is on the way home, supposed to be traveling back in today from his dad, so remember that. And just keep him in your prayers that the Lord will take care of him. Talk to Brother Collie this week. They have determined that he does have prostate cancer, but they said that they thought it was treatable, that there was not any problems with that, and he so wants to be in church, but you know how it is, Sister Johnny can't drive and Brother Darty can't drive, because like he said about Brother Darty, said the devil just working on him, said what Brother Collie said. He said every time he tries to go get something done for his eyes, said it gets worse. So let's just keep praying harder and harder, because somebody's stirring up the devil in that line. So pray that the Lord would take care of him, you know, and get everything where they can get a traffic, you know, get a way to drive backwards and forth, because I know that there are a lot of that. Okay. Brother Luis is off ministering today. Remember him and pray that the Lord would bless, and the Lord willing, he'll be ministering this coming Wednesday for us here at the church. Okay. Any other announcements? That's very close to where we're going. So if you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn in Revelations 19, and we'll begin reading in verse 7 through 16 and try to continue our thought from last Sunday's message of, you know, the name of God, and then we'll try to pick up today to get on over into the New Testament to pick up the name Jesus and have a better understanding. And I pray that the Lord would open our understanding to that. Father, we thank you for your grace and your love unto us. We thank you for Calvary, and we praise your great name. We ask you to just be with us now and let your love be there and just help us all to walk in the light of your love. And you be with us, Lord, in this day and time across the land and the whole world and all of these problems with the viruses and things. But yet you promised to be with your little bride and to take care of us. So we're not depending upon ourselves. We're depending upon you. And there's no way that the enemy can come in and bring these things upon us. The word says, your prophet taught it to us, that you would take care of us. And there's no way the enemy can come unless you allow it. So, Lord, we just put everything into your hands and believing you and trusting you in the day and the hour that we're living. Forgive our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and guide us and keep us in your love in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope we get to this scripture today that we'll see. All right, we're going to verse 7, Revelation 19. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her it was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, see, thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vessel dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. He saith, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written. Now watch all of this about a name, all right? King of kings and Lord of lords is that name, all right? You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, I want to try to continue the thought from last Sunday's message that, you know, to bring it to a point to where that we can follow God's word. I like to see something over here in the word and bring it through and bring it out to an end or whatever you want to call it and come to that point. Now, what was our thoughts that we were talking about last Sunday? All right. It says in Genesis 1, and that's 32 or 3 times, that in Genesis 1 it says, in God. And it's G-O-D. All right? Now, and that is used all the way through there. Read it, and it says that God created the world. God created this. God created that. All right? But then when you get over to chapter 2, especially chapter 3, you'll find a word added in there, and it'll say, the Lord God. All right. Now, that continues then throughout the Old Testament all the way up through into, and we'll follow into the New Testament to see. But my point was, why would it be staying in one section of the Old Testament, whether you've watched that or read it and what do it. Well, read it real careful, because it has drastic meanings to it that you read here of God. Well, see, God is not a name. We say, well, what's the name of God? His name is God. Well, see, that's not, you can make a God out of anything. See, God is not a name. God is a title to a name. And back there, the best they could do came out with the word Elohim for God, or God for Elohim, using that. And Elohim means a self-existing, or he that exists throughout eternity and all. And it tells it out, but it doesn't give a name. All right? Then you come up, we did, to Lord God, where the second chapter, third, come all the way through, as I said, the Old Testament. And you find Lord God. And you see in that it's trying to describe, and what they were doing, what they read and trying to put over into readable language for us and for translating it. And they put down our Lord God. All right? See, now, God being self-existing, why would it pick up some another title? Because that's what it is. God is a title to a name. It is not a name. It's a title to a name. Well, I've been taught all of my life God's name is God. Well, heaven help us if that's as far as we can go. I had enough of that knowledge when I was in the Baptist church that I knew that God was not a name. It was a title to a name. All right? Now, then you go to Lord God. Lord is not a name. It's a title. All right? And that title is picked up or derived from the wording, the best they could do, to come out with the word Jehovah. All right? So now when you go from Genesis 1 of understanding, it opens up in Genesis 2 to describe this one in Genesis 1 that's doing this. God created. Then in Genesis 2, you'll find that the Lord God created. Well, it must be the same person. There's only one creator. All right? And that's the Word. All right? See, the Word is the creator. So then you come up to Lord God, which is Jehovah Elohim. Jehovah means like a father with his family. That's the best basics you can come up with a name there, and using that point that to understand. It means like a father with his family. So as you come on over from Genesis 1 and the creation, and then all at once you find God becoming a creator of human beings, and then he picks up the title of Jehovah, and he becomes Jehovah Elohim. All right? Now you can come all the way through your Old Testament, bringing it to the basis of Jehovah Jireh, the seven compound names of Jehovah, and all the way through the Old Testament using that when you run across it, and you'll see Lord God. Go back and read those things. It's very valuable to us. You say, well, I'm just simple. Well, that's what I thought I was. I've never found out yet that I wasn't simple. Because that's what I am, is very simple. It's just to take the terminologies and follow it, and especially in the day that we live, see, we have the prophet's message to describe it. So all of this that I'm describing to you has been taught by your prophet when you get into the Godhead, into things of understanding. He's the one that came up with these things. And see, Elohim is not a name. Jehovah's not a name. God's not a name. And when you get into all of those titles and things, you know, of Yahweh and Adonai, ever how you pronounce that part there, all of that is titles to a name. Because God's name could never be pronounced. All right? It is actually, I've got them laying right here where the prophet said it, it's J-V-H-U. All right? And the best they could do was to come up with Jehovah. But I'm not in majors in anything. I just kind of have a little common sense. See, if you can't pronounce a name, then there's something hidden within that name. There is a great thing that you need to be able to follow that. All right. See, So then back in the Old Testament, when he was known as Jehovah, that was a title to a name of the person or being of Almighty God. All right? And in doing that, then you come up to the point of trying to find his name. Well, we'll call him this, we'll call him that. What is his name? All right? You say, well, his name was God. No, his name wasn't God. And his name wasn't Elohim. That's still a title to a name. His name wasn't Jehovah. That's still a title to a name. There was no name there to be able to do, and they couldn't, as I said, go back and read you, I'll give you what the prophet has to say. There was no way to pronounce the name. It's J-V-H-V, J-V-H-U, excuse me. All right? Now, you English majors and things, you get into it and help me out a little bit. But remember, there is only one vowel. You got to have vowels. Everybody knows what that is. That's the A-E-I-O-U. Is that all of them? That's the vowels. Okay, we'll get a little English today. A-E-I-O-U. All right, so you have one letter in the J-V-H-U. Because it's a U. You have one vowel. So there's no way to pronounce the name. You got to have the vowels to be able to comprehend the pronunciation or what you're doing with that name. So there was no way to do it. So they just put the best they could do, and they wrote Jehovah. But it's in Isaiah, I wrote it down yesterday and was going to bring it, and there I am slipping. But see, God said in the Old Testament there, it's in Isaiah, or one of them, he said, by my name Jehovah was I never known. You run up on a Jehovah Witness and they start talking to you about his name being Jehovah. Say, well, okay, here, answer this scripture here. He said, by my name Jehovah, I was never known. He couldn't be known by the J-V-H-U. And I said the best they could do was come up to Jehovah. But those are titles to a name. And he was known of Jehovah the Old Testament. Okay, now that's where we like the prophet to get our understanding. To the point he said that Jehovah the old is the Jesus of the new.
Amen.
Okay.
Yep.
See, now we can find the name, and that's what we were trying to do with that, was to find his name, because the name of God. All right? And see, when it comes through the Old Testament, all the way through, you have no way to comprehend that, to understand it. Okay? Now, as you do, then you wind up in a position to where, let's see, go ahead, go ahead to number four. Bring up number four. Now remember the point, there was no way to pronounce the name. So they done the best they could do. And they put it to J-V-H-U. But there's no way to pronounce that. So they got to come down to something. So they tried it by using Jehovah. All right? But now, that still doesn't give you the understanding. What is his name? Right, now remember, as we'll read this here, that when you come to Moses at the burning bush, that's where this is, then Moses was told, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Right.
Right. I make it plain so it's sensible to human language. Moses was standing there and he says, I know the God of Abraham. I've studied about him. I've heard about him. I know about the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, etc. But now when I go down there, they're going to ask me your name. Mm-hmm. And says, what is your name? All right. So now let's carry the thought over into what we're talking about. So let's start reading a little bit. Exodus 3:6-8. This is Moses at the burning bush. Remember what happened? He comes up, he finds a bush burning, and he says, I'll turn aside to see why the bush is not burning up. All right, when he does, God says, take off your shoes, because the ground is holy and all like that. All right, but look. Moreover, he said, now this is God speaking to Moses, I am the God of thy father. Now forgive me for putting in without injecting anything, but let me read it this way. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father. I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. And I also am the God of Jacob. Now, I didn't inject anything. I was just reading it, bringing it to a point to where you'll see that the same one was speaking. Okay? And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, now look, there's go back to that big capital Lord and things that we had understanding with. When you see the capital Lord, it's up in phrases meaning God of glory. When you see it in a lowercase, L-O-R-D, you'll find it can be many things. It can be, Brother Donnie, in the old English, I can say, my Lord. My Lord, come in the house, my Lord. It's difference in languages. But when it's got that big capital, it's only speaking of the one. The I am. All right, now watch what I'm saying. The I am that spoke to the fathers. The I am that was speaking to Abraham, of Isaac, to Jacob, and to Israel. All right? And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmaster, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land with a large and unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. All right. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me. And I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee. Okay? Now he's wanting his name, and he's going to send him. Who's he going to send? He's going to send Moses. God said, come on now, Moses, I'm going to send you, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I? You're the I am. Right. Who am I? Right. Right. You're trying to determine, you're trying to describe to me something, but I'm asking you, who am I? He said, I'm not worthy. Come on, read it all. I'm not worthy. I can't do this. I can't speak. I can't do this and all like that, right? Right. Constantly complaining, but look what happened. Who am I that I should go into Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly, I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. Now, what's the token? Look what it is. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. That's exactly where he went when he brought them out of Egypt, straight to that mountain, right? Okay. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, now watch, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? All right. Now you're going to read this part in here if you'll look at it. He's saying to Moses, he said, I'm the God of Abraham, I'm the God of Isaac, I'm the God of Jacob, I'm... All right. Moses said, all of them I know about, I've heard about, studied about, because they kept personal records up through there. They didn't just throw it out and do nothing. They had records and things they knew. And he could say, yeah, you was with Abraham. You was with Isaac. You was with Jacob. Right. Now, you say you're going with me, but said, I need a name. Right. Because if you're going with me now, I believe you was personal to Abraham, you was personal to Isaac, you was personal with Jacob, right there with them, doing all of the things, taking care of them. But said, now, what's the name I'm going to tell them? Right? What is that name, see? And God said unto Moses, what shall we say to them, God? The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, right back where we started at. All titles and no name. Now I got one in here where the prophet said God never had a name until Moses. And we'll get to that in a minute if we can hold it. Right. What is his name? What shall I say unto him? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Now that's his name. That's what he just said. What's his name? I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am have sent me unto you. Roll on up, 15. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God, all of these Jehovah Elohims, all of this coming in from the beginning over to which would cover, a little over 2,000 years, right? Because you've got a 1,000 years before the flood, and then, in that period of time, and then you got coming on over, so you'd have over 1,000 years. So you got a lot of time that Lord God was used. The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me unto you. This is my name forever. Okay. Are you going to get back then tired of what we're talking about? What does Elohim mean? Elohim means self-existing. He said, I am the self-existing Almighty God, but I've come down now to dwell with you. I've heard my people, their cries they're doing, and their taskmasters and what they're doing. But said, now I'm coming down, but I'm going to send you. He said, I don't even know your name. And you're going to tell me to go. He said, I need a little bit more. Is that plain enough to be human about it? Moses was just plainly saying, I need a little bit more. Would you please clarify yourself? Would you bring this to an understanding to where that I can follow you? And when they say, what is your name? Then I have no trouble saying, I am that I am. Because that's what his name is going to stay. I am that I am. It ain't going to never change. Come on, if Hebrews 13:8, I was going to read that in the scriptures, but I didn't. But if Hebrews 13:8 is right, he's Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he is, he has always been and always will be. He's always the same. He said, I'll always be there. That is my name. Right? This is my name forever. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Lord God, all of these you know about your parents, your understanding, you know about Abraham and how what happened. They were in bondage, but he's saying, you know about all of these things. You know about Isaac. You know about Jacob. You know about all of these things. Okay? Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim, the self-existing Almighty God dwelling with his family, the fathers of Israel. And now, we're going to get a little bit more. We'll get this right. The Lord God, same Lord God of Genesis 2, Genesis 3, 4, 5, 6, 10, 12, all the way up to where we're at. I don't know the exact number which comes into Moses, but it's a very short one. The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and of Isaac, of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the afflictions of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites, and to the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. They shall hearken unto thy voice. The what? They shall hearken to thy voice. Thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And you shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Now let us go and beseech thee 3 days, you know, to sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Now, according to my understanding of the way things happen, I don't know about that word and I can never pronounce it, but what do you call it? Hieroglyphics, which was the Egyptians' writings, and they wrote everything and kept records on their walls and drawed it all out. And you remember in the story of Moses, which was made up by them, but it happened that Moses finally went back in there and looked on the wall and seen the child and knew who he was and where he come from, because they kept records. All of those nations kept records. All right. All of those, the Egyptians knowed about the children of Israel. That's my point. It wouldn't have they just come up with something. No, he says, you go to them now and tell them. And tell the king he can go look on his wall and find out about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You say, well, you mean they kept up? Yeah, they kept up with all of those things. Records was made. The writings on the walls of Egypt, they're still there today as far as I'd assume they would be, whatever wasn't destroyed. But look, he's adding a point that whether you never thought of it or not, I don't know. But he said, the Lord God, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, you've heard about these guys. In other words, let me ask you a simple question. Don't you ever think? I mean, I do every once in a while. But you just think. Get a scene in your mind. The children of Israel are down in Egypt. The king is there. They keep up with all the records and know all about it. He walks into the king and says, let my people go. Why didn't that king say, cut his throat? You don't think? I mean, the king of Egypt and two guys walk in, Moses and Aaron. They ain't done any of their points yet. That comes on in. Well, they come walking in and says, the Lord God of the Hebrews met with us. Why didn't that king just say, get out of here? Right? Evidently, he must have had a little bit of understanding somewhere. Right? Because that's what Moses said. He said, the God of Abraham. You heard about him, hadn't you? The king said, yeah, I've heard about him. The God of Isaac. You heard about him? Yeah, yeah, our hieroglyphics, however you pronounce those big old words. We got it on our walls, what happened in these countries, in our country, and what took place. Why was that king? I mean, come on. Let me make a story out of it, all right? Sister Frieda, in the morning, Somebody knocks on the door. And you get up and you open. Yeah. Well, I'm in charge of this whole community around here, and I'm coming in your house to look it over. You say, no. This is my house. Don't you think that king was sitting there thinking, who is this guy? But he had heard about him. His granddaddy was the, what was his name? Seti, come from, get all of those names back there and you run them and do them, you know. The guy that brought Moses up to thinking that Moses was his grandson, I guess it was. You understand? He knows all about these things. Get it right of your understanding. The Egyptians knew all about Moses. And Moses said, now you let my people go. Pharaoh said, well, who's going to take them out? Moses says, what? I am. You understand? You don't think like that? That king was afraid of him. He knew about Moses and the things that had happened. He knew about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Come on. Be sensible in your thinking. The Lord God I'll put this in while we're thinking on it. Give you time for that to float in that I was trying to illustrate. What is the Hebrew? You know that Abraham was called a Hebrew? He crossed the river there one day and come walking up. He says, my name is Abraham. And the guy says, that's right, you're a Hebrew. So from then on, he's known as a Hebrew. And the children of Israel were known as Hebrews. Because they were descendants of coming down from Abraham, right? The children of Israel that was in bondage in Egypt were the children of Israel that were Hebrews coming down from Abraham. But listen. Abraham came from the other side of the river, or beyond, as the original says. He came from beyond. Now he's a Hebrew. That word Hebrew means that he's coming from beyond. You know where the Bible says Abraham come from? He said, I brought your father Abraham from the other side of the flood. A little bit more than just saying he come across that river down there and we'll call him a Hebrew. Come on, that's what the Bible says now. I'll be glad to find it for you. So, you know, if you can look it through and give it to me, and I can tell it. If not, then just go read your Bible and you'll find it. It says, I brought your father Abraham from the other side of the flood. Right. There's a little predestination to some of this, isn't it? Right? Little understanding of predestination appears in our thoughts. Just from being a Hebrew. See, then that word Hebrew means like from one beyond or coming from the river over. And there the scripture said, I brought him from the other side to flood. Well, there's no record that Abraham come over in the boat. Right? They did only Noah and his children. What's he talking about? The promised. Abraham is a Hebrew. The children of Israel were Hebrews. That's what he's talking about. The Lord God of the Hebrews. He's talking about the children of Israel that start at that moment down in Egypt. God said, I brought him to the other side of the flood. How did he get over there? He got over there from the lineages that come down.
Amen. That's right.
Okay, just give us a little point. Let you think about it. Hebrews. But listen. He keeps referring back that he's the Lord God. The Lord God. All right? Now let's go to, let's see, how did the word we get to? We got to 18. But I want you to back up with me and think. Back up into that to verse 13. And bring them out, say, what are we going to do? Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers, your Hebrews, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, sent me unto you, they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. You remember where I illustrated it a while ago? I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. I am the God of Jacob. I am the God of Israel. I am the God of the Hebrews. My name is to stay that perpetually throughout eternity. Can you find the name of God right there? Well, we just say, I am that I am. What about it? What is his name? Well, we know his name is Jesus. Well, how did we learn his name was Jesus? Now listen, we knew as Baptists his name was Jesus. We had Jesus's. We knew Jesus. We knew about the name Jesus. We had understanding of the name Jesus. Okay? We could quote you scriptures. I come in my Father's name. So what is the name of the Father? Jesus. So it is, what is the name of the Son? Jesus. But what does the name of God mean to you? Remember what I was illustrating? Moses said, I know about the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of Israel. I know about all of that. But I ain't going until you give me something that is related to me. Do you see the name of Jesus as being related to you? Or you just see Jesus as, what is the Hispanic name for Jeshu or what is it? Hayes, come on, y'all pronounce it, okay? Like Brother Branham said, he said, there's plenty of Jesuses. He said, they were Jesuses back in that time. Right. But he said there wasn't but one Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Right? Right? Wasn't but one Lord Jesus Christ. There wasn't but one I am that I am. So he advances in understanding of the God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, the Lord God of Israel and all like that, as Jehovah Elohim. Now you're picking up something to get a little better understanding. That I am that I am. which means ever present for eternity. Do you need the quotes from the prophet? Which means ever present. Now, if he is Hebrews 13:8, then whatever was there is here now. And whatever is here now will always be there. Every which way you go. Right? Hebrews 13:8 seals it up. What is Hebrews 13:8? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. But that's what we're trying to come to an understanding of, how to come out for the name Jesus. When it was not pronounced back there. There was no way to pronounce it. You had the J-V-H-U. But see, the way to pronounce God's name is Jesus. Well, that's just, we know now. What is Jesus? Is he something personal to you? You get the illustration of what I'm saying. Moses said, I know about these. I know about the I am and what happened in the days of Abraham. I've read the stories of behind it, or talked it, because basically what they'd done back then was just word of mouth and carried their lineages through, just like they do now. I remember reading not one time about this certain tribe in Africa, and they have people that all they do is they just memorize. They memorize. They know who's. I'll give you one of Brother Ezra. Well, George and them, not, they must be downstairs or whatever. But you know for certain that guy had a brain. Brother Moat had one, but Ezra had a brain. Now, a brain to remember. He had a brain to remember people and names and who was who and who done what. And we were standing talking one day, and he asked me what it was. I said, well, we come down through the cranes. We come over this. He said, we better stop. He said, we're somewhere in the category of fifth cousins already. Because, see, and that was Brother Moat knowing it. Ezra, some of you grin in life, and you know about Ezra. He had a memory. Because that's what they done back there. They handed it down, one to the other, one generation to the other. Whereas the Egyptians wrote it on the walls, and this other done this way and that way. But whatever it is, they kept records. And see, they could follow those records. And the record came up to what? From God. In Genesis 1, Genesis 2, Lord God. Then Lord God coming on through, and God the Lord, and different things. I gave it to you there the other day, trying to get you to see about the name. And here you come up to winding up to where Moses is standing at the burning bush. And he knows something supernatural is involved in things. And he knows for certainly that there's somebody here talking to him that's different than all the others. And that was the Lord God, and he said, I am. Remember, that's where we started reading. I am spoke to Moses. Then Moses began to realize, hey, this is something great going on. What's taking place? I can remember the God of Abraham. I remember the God of Isaac. I remember the God of Jacob. I know all about those things, and I know that we are the Hebrews, that we are the children of Israel, and we're down here in bondage. And Moses knew all the whole story because he was able to read all of that. You remember, he was raised up a little boy in the king's palace. And he knew all the whole stories. Oh, we go to movies and they make a version of what they can do about it. But when they come to that, you go to the Ten Commandments, and it follows real good. It makes a good layout and all. But if you watch it every once in a while, there's a little catch in there that they don't exactly get. I mean, how did Pharaoh's daughter wind up not letting Pharaoh know all about what was going on? Well, see, they made a picture out of it. They made a movie out of it. They made this. That was to sell, to do. But get what I'm talking about. By the time you come to Moses, you still have no name. You don't like his wording, but that's all right. You kind of wind up with a God with no name. because you can't pronounce his name. There was no way. They were locked in onto that basis, but they had come to a place that it added to into Moses in his account. Because before then it was I am. I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. I'm the God of Jacob. I am. Moses said, I know all about that. But tell me something personal. He said, I am that I am. I'm that I am. I'm the one that spoke to Moses. I mean to Abraham and to Isaac, to Jacob and all these things. I am that I am. You remember over in the scripture where it talks about when you say stuff like that? He said, I am that voice in the wilderness. You can get a lot of capital letters out of the Bible if you read it correctly and the right understanding. But get what I'm talking about. So you're adding an understanding to bring a clarity to the name. So you adding what? I am that. I am. Moses said, okay. I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to Egypt. That's just the best way to say it. Because you think he knows all about it. I don't. I think he just decided about that time. He said, hey, I know who I'm talking to. I know who's talking to me. And I don't know what's going to do, but he said for me to go, and I'm going to do what he says. I'm going down there, because if he's over here telling me what to do, he's going to be down there to make sure it works. Right? He's going to come along with me. All right? And he gets down to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh says, you know, they set up appointment. You know what I mean? I mean, did he just walk in the king, just walk in the palace, just Moses and Aaron just walk in, you know, we come and take over. No, no, get the story sensible in your mind. They get an appointment with Pharaoh. And Pharaoh says, Moses. I thought we got rid of that old boy. Because now technically there's an argument over the seti that comes up second or third. Right. Now if you've ever read your scriptures and followed it, you'll find a little gap in there. And I remember this in the Baptist church. We're studying about the Pharaoh, you know, they'd call each other, they'd call him Pharaoh. Seti and things. They had names. And you got a little argument over whether this guy is this guy. Or this guy, this guy. One of them was supposed to have been, if Moses would have stayed where he was, one of them was supposed to have been Moses' brother. Or at least his half-brother, or whatever you want to call it. Some of them guys died off, because it took quite a while. You got Moses for 40 years out there. And you got him 40 years, he's already come over here, so he's 80 years old. How old was that other guy? And then this goes out and back, and I'm just saying it that way, just leaving the point with you. See, we think we know all about it, but we don't study the story. But Seti, ever what his name is, that faces Moses, wasn't Pharaoh, because that was his granddaddy. Because he'd have been glad to see Moses come back. But just remember, as Moses had studied those walls and read those hieroglyphics, so had Pharaoh, and so had Seti, and so did all of them know what was going on. And here comes up Moses. Seti says, I thought we got rid of this old boy. I thought we'd run him out into the wilderness. I better walk a little soft. Do you remember what the trouble was with the Seti and Moses? You know what? I'm just using that word Seti, ever what the name comes up to be. You know what it was? That guy wanted to be in charge of Egypt, but he wasn't, because Granddaddy had already made up his mind to make Moses the guy in charge. Right? Moses was already in charge, because Moses was the one that conquered. Moses was the one that led the people. They was afraid of, that said he was afraid of Moses bringing an insurrection. So when Moses comes walking back in, the guy says, "Who you say that is?" He said, "Moses." He said, "He's got a guy with him, calls his prophet," said, "He's Aaron." Why didn't Seti just say, "Boys, do your job. Go get rid of them." Because they was afraid of him. Hey, this guy caused trouble before. We better walk soft. So Pharaoh says, "Okay, tell him to come on in." You know, Seti, or what his name was. "Tell him, come on in." And Moses could stand there and look at him and say, "Listen, you studied them hieroglyphics as well as I have. You know what took place." He says, "I don't believe you." He said, "You may not believe me, but you know. You know there's writing on them walls that declared that there was a man come up here and what he was to do." And said, "You had the children killed. Your daddy or granddaddy, which one it was, said you had the children killed from 2 years of age and under to try to get rid of that Moses. Well, you didn't get rid of him. I'm here now. What are you going to do?" All I'm asking you is one thing. Let my people go. And really it was a little bit deceiving when he first said, because the first encounter with Seti was from Moses and said, "Let us go 3 days out in the wilderness and worship God and we'll come back." He wasn't intending to come back. But I guess he was just human, you know. Why didn't that Seti say, "Okay, just take it and go on out there"? Because God had already hardened that man's heart. That there was no way that that man was going to let him get away. Right. He had let him got, they had let him get away back before then, but they wasn't going to do it now.
Right.
You understand? But to Moses, they had been added, "I am that I am." Amen. Moses stand there and says, "I'll go because I know about the I am." And he says, "That I am. I've got something more sure now," but that's still not his name. That's not his name. It's still titles to a name. More understanding. More of the story. But not no added name. Because it still ain't got a name. I am. That I am. That's still no name. We still JVHV or JVHU. We're still hung. You got a vast time between Moses and the coming of Jesus Christ upon the earth to where that he would come forth as being the Lord Jesus Christ. You still need a name. That's what gets me. I'm sorry. But it gets me of all the people of this message, because they've been at it ever since we've been in the message, 50 years. Well, do you know the new name of Jesus? If you know the new name of Jesus, you can take over. You can do it. I ain't done away with the name yet. I ain't got that finished yet. I ain't even got to his name yet, right? I'm still on titles. I've still got about somewhere around 2,000 to 3,000 years before that can come into being about the name of Jesus. Right? The only mention, I don't mean only, but one of the only mentions of him through there between Moses and coming forth and coming up to Israel is in, what is it, Isaiah, where he's talking about, "And thou shalt call his name Emmanuel." Why didn't they call his name that? They were told over there, the angel, I'll get to it. If I don't, I'll get it next time. I get to the angel told Mary, call his name Jesus. But he'd been told the fulfillment of the scripture would have been to call his name Emmanuel. Because the scripture had told him in there, and it's in Isaiah, where he says, his name shall be Emmanuel, God with us. So he's still not no name. Emmanuel's not a name. Because it's not related to a person. Remember, you've got to have a person for a name to be important. They say the most wonderful words that anyone can ever hear is their name being called. Because it has a relation to the body of the human part of you thinking. And you're standing in a crowd and all and they're standing there and I say, Tony. Tony. Why? Because that's his name.
Right.
And he knows his name and he knows I'm calling his name. And if he knows my voice, he knows especially that I'm calling his name. He ain't looking for me to be calling all over the building and get all kind of Tonys. But listen, just getting a little thought. His name shall be called Emmanuel. All right? Now we're getting just a little further. You come on over into the New Testament and there's Mary and you get her down at the water pot that day and an angel appears unto her. Says, Mary, said, you're chosen. And said, you've read the story. Get it all. Read it all. Read it in your understanding. Mary, it wasn't Mary just, Mary, you're here. No, get the whole story. Mary, you've been chosen. You've been chosen of all of the women of the world to do a specific job. She talks with the angel maybe for hours discussing the matter. We think it's just little. No. She knew the whole story. And she was told, said, you'll call his name Emmanuel. No, you call his name Jesus. Yet she can still use Emmanuel. Because she knows what it means. Emmanuel, they knew what Emmanuel meant. They could read Isaiah that his name would be Emmanuel. You could say, what will be that? What will be the Messiah that will come one of these days? And a Jew would quickly say, his name shall be Emmanuel. But see, when it came forth, it didn't come forth his name was Emmanuel. It come forth telling you that his name shall be called Emmanuel. But the real way to say it is Jesus. How do you pronounce Emmanuel? J-E-S-U-S. Jesus. You'll call his name Jesus. Because he'll save, now watch it, not just any Jesus, not just any person out there with the name Jesus, because it gives us specifics to what it says, because he'll be the Savior of his people. Right? You call his name Jesus, because he'll be the Savior. He'll be the Redeemer. He'll be the one. His name is Jesus. Now you remember what I was asking there the other day for you to look it up and see? They capitalized the letter Jesus when it was talking about it in Matthew. They bold it when they put Jesus after it had been directed what to do. And they used his name twice there and they bold or italicized it or what you want to call it. Upper cases, whatever you want to bring it. And you'll call his name Jesus. Brother Branham said the first time spoken by a human being, a baby comes to life. Read your story. First time spoken by a human being was to a human being, about a human being. You'll call his name Jesus. John didn't leave him because that was the angel talking. So Mary goes and she leaves and runs over to her Elizabeth, her kinfolk, you know. And Elizabeth had been pregnant for about 6 months, you know, but baby was never moving or nothing. Mary goes in and she says, you know, Hail Mary, and she greets her, you know, and salutations are met, and they get through and they're talking, and Elizabeth said, Mary, I'm worried. Said, I know I'm pregnant, but said, the baby hasn't moved. Said, it's about 6 months. And that's not right. It hadn't moved. Mary says, well, I'm expecting a child too, Elizabeth. Oh, you and Joseph got married. No, I didn't. She said, we got problems, right? Elizabeth said, oh, come on now. There's something going wrong here because you mean you're pregnant and you ain't married. What's going on? She gives, the Bible calls it her salutation. She said, the angel of the Lord met me and said, I would be found with a child of the Holy Ghost. And that child shall be, his name shall be Emmanuel. God with us to fulfill Isaiah. But said, I was told by the angel to call his name Jesus. Right there was a human being speaking that word first.
Right.
The prophet's right. The others are the angels talking and descriptions of this to do with that and this goes with that. We hear a person called the name Jesus.
Amen.
John leaps in the moon. Comes alive.
Yes.
Now you've got the name. Now you've went from I am the creator. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am all of these things. My name is I am that I am. Now, I ain't got time to finish that. I'll take it next week with it. Because we're going to get into me and you.
Amen.
Oh.
Amen.
You remember me? I'm just that way. Everything I've got relates to me and you. Okay?
That's right.
So just hold on. But just get the point. His name is Jesus. Huh? Was told over there was Simeon. You call his name Jesus. But notice as you're reading all of those things and relating to Jesus, it'll have some references. Like I said, it'll say something like, who will save his people, who will give his life for his people. And every time the name is Jesus is mentioned. A little baby. Jehovah, crying in a cradle. Jehovah, with no teeth. Now I'm quoting Brother Branham, right? The Jehovah of the Old Testament is now known as what? The Jesus of the New.
Amen.
Now we can come back to what? And we'll end it on this thought, but we can come back to Hebrews 13:8. There's never been but one person in the world could ever title, ever be to that title. It was a title, but it had a name replied.
Right.
What? Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Fulfillment of all the scriptures and anything that'll ever be in the future will have to come from that. Come on. Or else you're wrong. Because when he told him to say, I am that I am, he said, that will be my name for eternity.
Right.
I am means self-existing. And says whatever his name is, it will stay that away.
Right.
You say, yeah, but Brother Dale, wait a minute. Now you're running I'm not running off. You say, well, we don't know the new name. Brother Branham was looking for a new name. Great, so am I. But I've also found where he said this. He said, maybe it'll be made known when we get there.
Right.
Okay? Because what's going to happen? Somebody comes in here. Let's get an illustration. According to the Bible, if a prophet gives a sign and it comes to pass, you're supposed to believe that prophet, right? But the Bible also says if a prophet comes and speaks it, come on, what is it? If a prophet give a sign and it come to pass, but what about the one where if a prophet comes among you and gives a sign and it comes to pass, what are you to do? God says, I sent him among you to try you to see whether or not you're going to stay with the word. Is that true? Come on, you're in the scriptures. You know what I'm talking about. God sent or allowed to come an antichrist in the last days to deceive the biggest portion of the world. He permitted it to happen. He didn't make it happen. He permitted it to come into being. He permits a prophet to give you a false sign as an antichrist. What if you were standing here and they would come rolling a dead body in right here and they've been dead and proven for so long, and then he said, I'm going to prove to you that I'm right. He's going to raise from the dead. You reach over and he raises from the dead. What are you going to do? But the Bible said if he takes you to another God, if he takes you to another God or another doctrine or another idea or another faith, that's why I can't be looking for another prophet to come. I have no hopes whatsoever, never based it on anything of another prophet to come to take over. It's always been the way it is. Brother Branham brought the message.
Right.
We believe his message. We stay with that.
Right.
And we walk in the light of the word of the hour that we're living.
Amen.
But now we're learning that his name is Jesus.
Right.
Because he'll save his people from their sins.
Yes.
But I don't like you using them prophets like that. You don't like me using the Bible? Did I use the Bible? The Bible says if a prophet give you a sign and it come to pass, you got to believe that prophet. But then he said if a prophet comes and gives you a sign and it comes to pass, but he leads you to another God, don't follow him. There's your antichrist. Look at the people of this message, the way they're doing now. I mean, we come 50 years from the two souls, two lords, parousias, Parousia. All kind of River Jordan, all kind of doctrines that the people of this message are running hog wild after and going off and leaving the name of Jesus. You think this thing is doing now? I told you when this started. This is only the day of the temptations to where that it'll be to you volunteering for what's taking place. Be careful what you volunteer now. Because we're in the last days. But you see, you understand what I'm talking about? Moses could not pronounce that name Jesus. They couldn't pronounce it. It couldn't be pronounced. It couldn't be understood. It's not what I mean pronounced. They could make a stab at it and call him Jesus. You understand what I'm getting at? It's not to just pronounce it, it's to understand it.
Right.
I hope you followed me of what I was saying, because if your doctrine will come out, because remember Hebrews 13:8 has got a something in it, okay? You mind if I read it? Let's see if I can find it. Okay. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. But what's verse 7? That's verse 8. If you can, brothers, pull up Hebrews 13:7. Easy to get 13:8. Do that and roll it backwards. Can you get it? Okay, I'll just go ahead. Maybe they'll pick it up. Hebrews 13:7 says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. What is the end of a person's conversation? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Right? Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. What is the end of your conversation? If it leads you to a false God or a false doctrine, it is not Hebrews 13:8. If you understand what I'm trying my best to bring, I had it written in here to bring it over and over. When it comes forth with I am, that's Hebrews 13:8. When it comes forth with I am that I am, that's Hebrews 13:8. When it comes forth with his name Emmanuel, that's Hebrews 13:8. When it comes forth with his name is Jesus, that's Hebrews 13:8.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
The book of Acts 7:35 or something in there. You realize it says Jesus was the angel that spoke to Moses from the burning bush? Are you with me? You ever read that? Jesus is the angel that spoke to Moses from the burning bush. Can we get that? Let me see if I can find it. All right. Come on, musician. Well, I'm picking up something. Come on. Did you get, no? It'd be number 9, brothers. In Mary's belief, what is it? What is the pillar of fire? It's the angel of the Lord. What is the angel of the Lord? The same one was in the burning bush, the same one that was in Jesus Christ, the same one that's in you tonight is the same one that was in the burning bush. The same one here, the same great Lord Jesus. Go up to Paradox. It says, angel of the Lord, pillar of fire, led the children of Israel through the wilderness. That was a paradox that talked to Moses out there in the burning bush. It was a paradox. And he goes down to explain what it was in a journey. All that here Jesus said before Abraham was, I am. I am was in the burning bush. I am was the one that talked to Moses. The Lord Jesus spoke to Moses from the burning bush. The prophet in the last days recognized who was speaking, the Lord Jesus, right? Come on, let's stand. Think on these things. Can you see his name? There's not another name given whereby man must be saved or can be saved than the name of Jesus. Right? See, they couldn't pronounce it back there. They couldn't pronounce J-V-H-U. But we can, because now we know what it is. His name is Jesus. But he had to come into human flesh. The angels had to speak those things to bring it forth in clarity before the name could be pronounced on earth in human beings. It's not just Jesus. Because that can be any name of Spanish or whatever you want. But it's Lord Jesus Christ. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am that I am, he would say. And one of these days you'll understand. My name is Jesus. I come in my Father's name. Now, how many of you here come in your Father's name? Right? Your Father is what? Brother Ray, your father was a Jones. Oh, no, you got the wrong one. My name is Gabriel. Why? Because that was my daddy's name. It wasn't a name given to me. It was a name I blood inherited. Making you part of him. Think on these things. What we got, brother?
Sing that chorus, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
Call him Jesus to make sure that fulfills it. Because Jesus is the only name that Hebrews 13:8 will match. There's not another name in the world that can match Hebrews 13:8 but the name of Jesus. That's why I believe what I try to preach. Because that's my conversation to you. That he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Brother Brown said the same burn, one at the burning bush is the one living in your heart. By the new birth. Same one that walked the shores of Galilee. Is the Lord Jesus Christ. The I am. That I am.
Hallelujah.
Anybody have a need? The altar's open.
Oh, Lord, thank you. I love you. Oh, Lord, I love you. 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 Lord, I love
you. You know, I have trouble with this clock up here. I always have trouble with digitals. Because that means I gotta count numbers in my mind instead of looking at places for the hand to stick. You don't do that. I have trouble looking at the letters and saying that it's 1147. What a day and what a time.
Hallelujah.
Same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
Anybody else anything before we go? Remember Wade ministering this afternoon. Pray that the Lord would bless. Remember Brother Luis and them traveling back home today. And all that the Lord would be with them and give them a safe journey. Remember, one row at a time, everything still stays in order. That's why we got the tape up. We got everything. We'll follow these because that has nothing to do with what we believe. That's just plain common sense. The less contact it can be, even if you're just talking about a sniffly bad cold, the less contact is better. So we do that, right? All right. Father, we thank you. We ask you to just be with us now and go with us to eat a natural meal. Bring us back together this evening. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You're dismissed.
Oh, there's honey in the rock, my brother.